My message today will be taken from David's Psalm 37. If you'd like to, get your Bible and open it to Psalm 37. Now, the title of the message, Words to Live By. Words to Live By. This message is one that I preached to our congregation some time ago. And it came to me one morning after I received three telephone calls from friends who were going through very difficult times. I sat down to study and prepare my message for that particular Wednesday night. This was early Wednesday morning. And the first call came from a friend in Alabama whom I've known for many, many years. And he was recovering from brain surgery. He had a tumor, and they removed it, and he was taking these treatments. And he was having a very, very difficult time, and he called to request prayer. But he's a man who loves the gospel and loves God, and yet he was going through a terribly, terribly difficult time. And after I talked to him and began studying again, the phone rang, and the second call was from a friend not too far from me whose mother had died the night before. And he requested that I come and preach his mother's funeral. It was a sad time for him and for the family. And then I talked to him a little while and hung up, and the phone rang again. And this time it was a friend up in the Northeast and near Idaho and Oregon, in that area, somewhere around Washington State. And he was expressing his disappointment over the fact that he had nowhere to worship God and hear the true gospel preached. There were churches, but no voice, no preacher, no bold prophet of God to preach the word and to teach him the scriptures. And he was so hungry to hear the word. He asked that I send him some tapes that he might listen to the preaching of the gospel. You know, these are everyday occurrences. Everyday occurrences, because the people of God, believers in Christ, children of God, are not without trials. I mean heavy trials, severe trials, trouble, sorrow. Sometimes it's more difficult than at other times. You know, we have words to die by. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Those are words to live by and die by, but especially to die by. The promise of life, the promise of glory and happiness. And then, you know, in Philippians 1, Paul said, "To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To live is Christ, to die is gain. I am in a strait betwixt the two. I have a desire to depart and to be with the Lord, which is far better." Those are words to die by. But you know, sometimes, and I know many of you know what I'm talking about, sometimes it's more difficult to live for the glory of God than to die for the glory of God. Sometimes it's easier just to die and leave here and avoid any more difficulty. Sometimes that's a lot easier. Sometimes it's harder to live for the glory of God than to die for the glory of God. So I want you to look with me at Psalm 37. Now, the author of this psalm is David, man after God's own heart, sweet psalmist of Israel, mighty king, the man whom God called a man after my own heart. That's what he said about him. So it's worth listening to this man, isn't it? Writing under divine inspiration at that. And the time of this psalm, Psalm 37, when it was written, was in David's old age. That's when he wrote it. I'm not guessing here, supposing. Verse 25 tells me that. David in verse 25 of this psalm says, I have been young, I am now old. So I know when he wrote it, now old. And he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or God's seed begging bread. Never have. They don't beg bread. And they're not forsaken. Not God's seed. And he said, I'm old. I was young. I'm now old. Now, the occasion of this psalm is the affliction of God's people. That's what it's about. Especially in the light of the prosperity of the wicked. If you want to, if you have a pencil and paper, jot this down. Study Psalm 73. Just 37, 73. Just reverse the numbers. They deal with the same thing. Psalm 37 and Psalm 73 deal with the afflictions of God's people in the light of the prosperity of the wicked. David saw that the wicked prospered while believers suffered. He saw that folks that didn't know God, didn't love God, and had no interest in God seemed to have an easier road than those who did know God. And he complained about it. And the Lord took him to the house of the Lord and showed him something he needed to consider. And that is, consider the end of these people. When I saw their end, the results of their rebellion, he said, I confess my sins. And you have in this psalm, David, the old experienced elder, sitting with the family of God about him, and they're listening to him speak under divine inspiration about daily living and daily walking, and giving us in this psalm some words to live by. Words to live by. All right. I'll give you several. Now, here's the first one, verse 1. Fret not. Fret not. Fret not thyself because of evildoers and the wicked. Fret not. It's so common for us in the hour of trouble to fret. You have a problem with that? In time of sickness, in time of sorrow and disappointment, we become discouraged. We become weary of the pain. We find time to complain, and maybe we find fault with the good providence of God. Sometimes we even feel that our way is too difficult, especially when we see others who have a much easier way, and people who have no interest in God. We see them, they're getting along so well, and we're just having a very difficult time. And we begin to fret and complain and find fault with the providence of God. You ever do that? Well, he says, don't do that. Don't fret. Don't fret. The wicked shall be cut down like the grass, and the believers going to reign. The wicked will be cut down. The believers going to reign with Christ. Their way is temporary. This way of prosperity is temporary. And it doesn't have anything to do with God's way for me. My way is not temporary. My way with God is eternal. These light afflictions through which we pass now are not worthy to be compared with the glory which we shall enjoy in His presence. Not worthy to be compared. It's just light afflictions for the moment. And they're not worthy to be compared with what's ahead. Let me tell you a story. When Queen Elizabeth, many years ago, Queen Elizabeth, not this present queen, but way back, got a good Queen Bess was her name. Queen Elizabeth, before she became Queen of England, Princess Elizabeth, she was in prison. The wicked queen before her, knowing that she was the heir to the throne, had her put in prison. And when Princess Elizabeth was in prison, she envied the milkmaid. The milkmaid who would bring her food and her milk and these other things that they provided for in the cell. And she said, she wrote, I envied the milkmaid because she had freedom to come and go, and I was kept like a bird in a cage. Let me tell you something. If she had known at that time the glorious reign that she would enjoy for 44 years. She's going to reign as Queen of England for 44 years. If she had known that while she was sitting in that prison cell, she would never have envied the milkmaid. She would never have wanted to trade places with the milkmaid. And I say to you, in your cell and in your suffering and in your time of difficulty, think not and envy not and fret not concerning those who seem to have freedom to come and go. You're the one with the freedom. If you know the Son will really set you free. You know the truth will really set you free. So you just think, not upon the things of this earth that are temporal. Think on things that are eternal. Set your affection on things above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God, on your inheritance. You're going to reign someday with Him. And this trial is just to prepare you for that day. That's the word. Don't fret. Don't fret. Secondly, another word to live by, trust. Trust in the Lord, it says. Trust in the Lord. I tell you, to trust in the Lord will cure fretting. That's the way to stop fretting and complaining and finding fault, is to trust Him. Just to trust Him. I go down to Mexico every year. I've been doing that for 21 or 22 years. We have two veteran missionaries in Mexico, both of whom have been there for over 25 years. And they have several churches there where I preach, and several open-air meetings where I preach through a translator. And I go down there every year and stay 2 or 3 weeks. Well, I tell you, there. While I'm down there, there's a lot of causes for fear and for fretting. The language barrier. I don't speak Spanish. Everything you read's in Spanish. Everything you hear's in Spanish. And I'm down there among people who don't speak my language. Secondly, I'm down there among people, all of whom are not friendly to Americans. And I'm down there where you can't drink the water except in prescribed places. And you can't eat certain foods. And I go out in villages where a gringo has never been, many times. I go out in villages where missionaries have been run out before. And we climb mountains in four-wheel drive vehicles. There are just a lot of things to fear and to fret about unless you trust someone. And the two missionaries with me have lived there 25 years. They know the people. They know the area. As long as I'm with them, they're doing the driving. They're selecting the foods. They tell me what water I can drink. They tell me what village we can visit. They tell me what people are friendly. I trust them. I trust these men. And trusting them, I'm not afraid. Now, if I were alone down there in many of these places, I'd be afraid. But I trust these able men. And I'll tell you this, I trust my Lord. Going through this journey, the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not alone. He said, Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, rod of defense, rod of correction, a staff of provision, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Trust the Lord. Fret not. Trust Him. Trust in His love for you. Trust in His blood shed for you. Trust in His righteousness imputed to you. Trust in His care. Trust in His good providence. Our steps are ordered by the Lord. Isn't that what Scripture said? He chose us. He loved us. He redeemed us. He called us. He'll keep us. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And He knows the way I take. And after I have been tried, I'll come forth as gold. Isn't that what Scripture said? Trust Him. That's a word to live by. All right, here's the third one. Here's another word to live by. Delight thyself in the word of the Lord. Delight thyself in the word of the Lord. Notice how these words follow one another. Don't fret. Don't complain. Don't be filled with anxiety, anxious care. Trust Him. Trust Him. And not only trust Him, but delight yourself. Find your rest and find your encouragement and assurance in the word of the Lord. His promises are precious. You know, if I can really learn to trust the Lord, then I'll find delight and joy in His words, if you trust Him. You'll find delight and joy in His promises, in His gospel. You see, the people of this world, where do they find their delight and their joy? I'll tell you, in the things that perish. They delight in riches. They delight in fine homes, luxurious toys. They delight in entertainment. They delight in the things of this world. But these things die with them. But the believer finds his joy and his delight in the eternal Word of God, the promises of God. We have an inheritance undefiled, incorruptible, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. We have God's Word, God who cannot lie, and we delight in it. Delight in it. We have no reason to be discouraged. Our hope and our confidence is not in ourselves, not even in our profession, not even in our religious leaders, not even in our pastors. Our confidence and assurance and hope is in our God and in His Word. His Word. You see it? Delight thyself in the Word of God. And I can tell you this, not only from Scripture, but from personal experience. When you're down, fretful, uneasy, fearful, doubting, don't go to another person and seek help. Go to the Scriptures. Turn to the book of Psalms. Turn to the writings of our Lord. Turn to those encouraging passages of Scripture. Read them. Lay hold of them. Appropriate them for yourself. These are men whom God blessed writing the Scriptures, and they are for your comfort. They're for your edification. They're for your faith. Read the Word of God. Delight thyself in the Word of the Lord. It can't perish. He can't lie. All right, here's another word. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, and He'll bring it to pass. Commit thy way. You know, Paul used this word in his definition of faith in 2 Timothy 1:12. He said, I'm not ashamed. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I, what? Committed unto Him against that day. What does it mean to commit something? Let me tell you what one of the old writers said years ago. Commit thy way unto the Lord, He will bring it to pass. This means to roll the whole business of life and eternity upon the Lord and to leave it to thy God. Not only your present trial, but all your life and all your care and all your family and all your hope. Cast away anxiety, cast away worry and fear, and resign your life and resign your will and resign your way to Him. Roll your whole burden over upon the Lord and take every care and every sin to Him and leave it there. There was an old black preacher who pastored one of the northern churches many years ago. His name was C.A. Tindley, T-I-N-D-L-E-Y. He was born a slave back before the Civil War. And when that war was over, when he was 20 years of age, he went north. He couldn't read or write. And he became a helper for a stonemason, learned the trade. And later he went to night school and learned to read and write. And he was brought to a knowledge of the gospel. And he became a janitor of this huge church up north. And he was 50 years old. And the pastor died. And they made C.A. Tindley, former slave, former illiterate, former stonemason helper, former janitor, pastor of that church. And he wrote, if the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in God's Word how He feeds the little bird, and take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. He learned something, didn't he? When your youthful days are gone and old age is stealing on and your body bends beneath the weight of care, He'll never leave you then. He'll go with you to the end. So take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Commit thy way unto the Lord. He'll bring it to pass. Can you learn that? That's a word to live by. Thy way, not mine, O Lord, however dark it be. Lead me by thy hand, O Lord, and choose my path for me. Smooth, let it be, or rough, it'll still be the best. Winding or straight, it matters not. It'll lead me to thy rest. I dare not choose my lot. I would not if I might. But choose for me, O Lord, that I may walk aright. Fret not. Trust. Delight thyself in the word of the Lord. And commit thy way to Him. And now here's another word. Rest. Rest. Oh, if I can just cease to carry my burdens. If I can just cease to carry them myself and commit them to Him, then I can rest. I can't rest as long as I'm trying to help Him. As long as I'm trying to help myself. I can't rest. Do you have rest? Peace? Not many people do. This is a world of unrest. Oh, I know there are a lot of people saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. But I'm talking about real peace and rest of soul and peace of mind and comfort and assurance of heart, no matter the trial. Christ said, come to me, I'll give you rest. He said, cease from your labors and enter into His rest. He said, thou keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Rest. That's what this word is here. Rest in the Lord. Rest. Suppose there's a man walking up a hill carrying a heavy, heavy load. And he struggles and he falls beneath the load. It's just too heavy for him. Too heavy for him. And here comes a friend. And that friend loves him. And that friend is strong. And that friend's able to carry many loads. And when he comes up next to this friend, he just reaches and takes his load, puts it on his own shoulder, and begins to walk up the hill. Now, what's this man to do? His friend has the load. What's this man to do? Why, rest. Rest. Walk along beside him. Be thankful. Be grateful. Don't try to take the load back. Take it to the Lord and leave it there and rest. He's fully able, capable, willing to bear your load and to put away your sin. Look at this word. Here's the next one, verse 8. Cease from anger. I suppose this word has to be one of the most difficult assignments of all, isn't it? We can get mad. Cease from anger. This is an important word, how necessary it is for rest and peace. Cease from anger against God's providence. Cease from anger against unbelievers. Were it not for the grace of God, you'd be one. Cease from anger against relatives. Cease from anger against other believers. Cease from anger that leads to vengeance. Don't let another person's neglect or indifference or ingratitude or bad treatment of you cause you to lose your peace. And your rest. Cease from anger. Let me tell you, I know this. And I'm as guilty as you are. But I need to learn this word to live by. Cease from anger. The wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Anger is not going to change the situation. It'll only make it worse. Now that's true, and you know that's true. Not going to change it. Not going to improve it. It's going to make it worse. And beside that, it's going to rob us of our fellowship with God. Don't get upset. Cease from anger. Now here's the last word, verse 34. I got to skip way down to verse 34 and get this last word, words to live by. Here's the final word. I'll mention it before we close. It's so important. Wait. Wait. You know, most of the mistakes that I have and do make are impulsiveness and haste. If I can just learn to wait on the Lord. Isn't that what that says there? Wait on the Lord. David said, I would have fainted if I had not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Again I say, David repeated it, wait on the Lord. Time is nothing to God. Let it be nothing to you. The Lord never moves before His time, and He's never late in His purposes. In the fullness of time, He sent His Son. In the fullness of time, He called you. In the fullness of time, He'll bless you. What does this verse say? Wait on the Lord, keep His way, and He'll exalt you to inherit the land. You know, when you're reading a book, you start the first and your hero gets in trouble, serious trouble, out of that trouble into more trouble. You don't stop reading. You don't give up because you know back here in the back of the book, things are going to turn out all right. And our lives are like a tale that's told. And we start in here and things develop and things take place and things that are unpleasant sometimes and most difficult. But I'll tell you this, He who wrote the story will make it end happily in Christ Jesus. So why don't you wait on Him? Wait on the Lord. Words to live by. Now, if you want this message, I have a message on the other side, a summary of our gospel, and this one, Words to Live By. Here's the address. Send $2. We'll mail it to you. May God bless you.